The virus is still out there, strong and invisible. And now it comes in a new variant. It's called Omicron. Now, the Omicron variant, a lot is being said across the globe about it, about the severity, the infection, the virality. All of this is being said. Its impact the vaccines will have on Omicron. Will it escape vaccine immunity? Lots of things being spoken about. Some concluding that maybe it is not as devastating as the previous strains. But the point is, you cannot relax. We still do not know enough to rule out the possibility of this being as deadly, if not more, than the Delta variant. And just 6 months ago, we all know what India went through, about 6 to 8 months ago. We cannot afford a repeat of that, and thus, we ask this very fundamental question on the big fight tonight. Is India prepared to handle the Omicron challenge? Simple question. Last time, lots of things happened. We had an oxygen shortage, medicine shortage, bed shortage, state and center war, war over certification. Let us hope we have learnt from our mistakes in the past. But have we? First of all, the question on political will. So I would like to invite our political guests. Thank you very much for joining us. Kakoli Ghosh Dastidar, Member of Parliament from the Trinamool Congress. Dr. Ajoy Kumar, spokesperson of the Congress Party. Nitin Tyagi of the Aam Aadmi Party. And Mr. PKD Nambia as a political analyst. Views lean towards the government. Thank you very much. As is the format of the show, we'll begin by giving each one of you a minute of time for your opening comments. We call this the first punch. Ms. Kakoli Ghosh, we'll begin with you.
You see, this COVID was mismanaged by the government in the initial phases. When the members of Lok Sabha alerted the government regarding the advent of a new disease, which nobody knew what it was, what was happening to the world, then we were not allowed to speak out properly, or we were not even allowed to wear a mask. So the government and the departments did not know how to tackle it. And that is why we suffered for so long. Like we saw the lockdown, which was so hasty and unplanned, that daily laborers faced a lot of problems and the economy suffered a lot. So since the government didn't know how to face it, since they were not informed and ready, the country has suffered. We don't want the country to suffer more. But as from an unstarred question by Honorable MP from AITC, that is All India Trinamool Congress, Abhishek Banerjee, it has proven that still there is this kind of a behavior from the government, that the names included in the list of COVID vaccinated people,
sure,
there are diseased people, there are people who are been vaccinated.
Ms. Kakoli Ghosh.
So this kind of...
Sure, I'm
going
to come back to you.
On.
1 minute time is up, Ms. Ghosh. I'm going to come back to you. Dr. Ajoy Kumar, your opening comments.
Look, Sanket, I think the first thing the government should do is come out with a white paper on what is the preparedness in the various hospitals across the various district hospitals and the medical college hospitals, because where the role of the government in terms of oxygen availability, in terms of ventilator, in terms of drugs, which are now... seem to be reasonably effective. There is a drug by Roche, which is an antibody cocktail, which they say it once you get affected. So are we analyzing that? Are we preparing for it? The other important part is, what is the status of the Prime Minister's fund and how much they have spent and how much are they planning to spend to ensure that all the shortcomings which we saw, the horrendous situation we saw last time. The fourth and the most important part is, how are we ensuring states in terms of advisory for the masking, the gathering of crowd? And it's a sign of times that there is a huge amount of insanity. In Uttar Pradesh, Lucknow, they have declared that there cannot be any gathering, there's Section 144 because of Omicron. But in Prayagraj, they're preparing for the gathering of lakhs and lakhs of people, and that continues. You know? So,
okay.
So the
incredible, there has to be a rationale behind the decisions. Sure. I'm going to come back to you, Dr. Ajoy Kumar. Nitin Tyagi of the Aam Aadmi Party, your opening comments.
Yeah, even in earlier waves, we had seen the initial response of the central government has been very slow. This time around also, Delhi CM Arvind Kejriwal has requested the central government to at least stop the flights from the Omicron-affected countries so that we can actually avoid this virus from coming in. As they said, it is a super spreader. It spreads very fast and all. So we have to first avoid. Precaution is actually much better than cure. And our preparedness comes secondary. First, we have to avoid that this vaccination, that this particular virus, it settles down in our country. So I think we do need a very strong response from the center on this. Secondly, I think Delhi is extremely well prepared right now. We have a graded response system right now. And the first response, right now, the positivity rate is much below 0.5%. And the first phase of response comes in to effect at 0.5% rate of positivity. Right now, it's very low. And there's no scene of any kind of lockdown.
Sure, Mr. Tyagi. Okay, I'm going to come back to you. You can elaborate a little further. Now, Mr. PKD Nambiar, your opening comments.
Sanket, your question started with that, are we prepared for it?
Yes.
I think the country is prepared as better as can be even till today. From the last 18 months have been a toughest journey for the whole world and for us too. From the point of view of the preparedness, if you really look at it, from our oxygen supported beds have been increased in eightfold, that is from 4,16,947 beds now from April 2021. The total isolation beds have been jumped to 1.8 million from 10,000 beds earlier in the March 2020. So as the ICU beds, so as the oxygen capacity, everything has been, I think both the state governments and the central government has learned so much. Our medical fraternity have learned so much. And I think for any other virus modulation, this is an invisible enemy. Now, nobody can predict anything. But I think as a country, we are much prepared than ever.
Sure. Let me now, to 1 minute time is up. Ms. Kakuli Ghosh, let me now ask you this question. You see, apart from augmenting our needs, for instance, the government in a press conference has said that there is an early implementation of ECRP2 package of 23,123 crores for health infrastructure preparedness. It talks about infrastructure availability and augmentation, logistics availability, and also availability of essential drugs to review the availability of medicines and maintain buffer stock for the same. The problem, unfortunately, that happened last time was blame game at a political level, center versus state war. Whose responsibility is it that we do not see that ugly war play out between center and state?
You know, I'm of the opinion that we should really not politicize this, because this is a matter of great health concern.
But it happened last time.
But it is true. It is true that all these states have not been treated equally by the central government, and the number of vaccination doses that have come to West Bengal, for example, are much less than their requirement. But whatever has come, we've used and we vaccinated the people right in the remote areas also. Vaccination should have been more brisk and complete. We have not completed the vaccination target. Mm. It was very high on one particular day, I don't want to say when, but even on that day, the names included, like I said, it has shown that erroneous, that list is erroneous. So vaccination must be complete on the part of the government. Tracing, tracking and testing of the patient and the contacts must be complete. The storage and the supply of medicine is definitely important, but oxygen
supply. No, the last time around what we saw, Ms. Kakuli Ghosh, we started the process of the chief ministers and the prime ministers talking and the health ministers as well as the central health minister talking very late. And then unfortunately we entered into a blame game. Dr. Ajoy Kumar, I want to ask you, how important is it to kickstart this process right away of communication between the PM and the CM? Communication between, I know it's happening. It's happening in a graded way. But, you know, this is exactly, look at early January 2021. we perhaps did not pay heed to the way the Delta variant started spreading. We were getting statements from the government saying that this is the beginning of the end of the pandemic. And look what happened come March and April. So don't you think that a response early on of coordination is better? You will be able to augment everything if people are on the same page. Unfortunately, politically, we were not on the same page 8 months ago.
No, first of all, I don't think the issue was people being on the same page politically for a pandemic. The fact was whether you take the ventilators, whether you take the availability of remdesivir, whether you take the vaccination numbers, and I would like to disagree with Nambiarji, because for the fact is that the numbers which are thrown at us, this so many lakh beds have increased, so many lakh, you know, I keep trying to look at those data and I really find it very difficult to find where this data is coming from. But and I hope Nambiar Saab will, you know, be able to at least tell me which link and what is the actual data, because you hear fantastic data is being thrown off, and in the reality, when you look at and check it on the hospitals, I don't see it at all. And I would really like to be corrected. But the issue is very simple. The engagement at the political level is right now also non-existent. I mean, the Prime Minister believes in working through the civil servants and the communication is happening. But I've not seen the political engagement of all the state governments with the Prime Minister and the Health Minister. And I've not seen it. So please correct me if I...
Mr. Nambiar, would you like to respond? Don't you think that the first thing that must happen right away, not casting aspersions, but would it not be better to start a coordination right away?
Absolutely. I think the coordination should be taking place almost on a daily basis, which is the truth, which is actually true, that whether it is from the Niti Aayog or the committee which has been created for looking after the pandemic, and including at the Prime Minister level, even as last week also there was a meeting which was held. We all know about it. The fact is that the data which I am produced right now is not of mine. It belongs to the government of India, and these data is collated by the central government.
I mean, we run the risk of you not knowing it offhand, but I'll ask nevertheless.
I'll tell you the website name.
You know, for instance, do we have a mechanism by which, with the help of an app or some dashboard, we can find out which state has how much oxygen supply or medicine supply?
So it is absolutely there. I will not be able to give you the exact figures and everything off the hand, but then there is the website of the Ministry of Health do have a dashboard which clearly says all these data which you are talking about, including the number of beds which has increased statewide.
Okay, Nitin Tyagi, I want to come to you now, because last time around when this oxygen war happened, Delhi...
In fact, even government of Delhi has it.
Sure. The government of Delhi and the central government eventually had to go to the Supreme Court. This matter went all the way to the Supreme Court. How unfortunate in a time of a crisis.
I think there should be a lot of coordination between the center and the state.
How? Mr. Tyagi, can you avoid a situation like this? That's all I am interested in knowing.
We need to avoid this kind of situation.
No, have you prepared to avoid? That's the point.
Absolutely. Let me just complete what I'm telling you, what is supposed to happen, what should have happened earlier also. There should be coordination between state and the center. The whatever conclusion of the meeting and the regular meeting should be made public. Whatever the conclusion of the meeting should be made public, so that the people have that kind of confidence in them that the cooperation is have. People deserve this cooperation from the central government and the state government. They cannot be isolated. Just because of political reasons, people cannot be isolated. People cannot be made to suffer. One. Secondly, yes, we have been trying to coordinate with the central government this time round also. We had been
Mr.
trying
Tyagi,
to
my question is different.
Mr. Tyagi, difficulties already. I hope and pray that it does
Mr.
not happen.
Mr. Tyagi, no. Mr. Tyagi, please, you could kindly allow me, hope and pray is something that the people of this country will do, where they hope and pray that there is political consensus in being able to augment the supply and deliver, administratively deliver. My question to you
absolutely
is the learnings already, on the coordination front from the past.
Absolutely. We have already, whatever is required, like the oxygen or the necessary medicines and all, that stock and its inventory is being maintained and is being made public. Everybody can see. There's an app on that. And also we are trying to coordinate on a regular basis with the central government. Even as far as vaccinations are concerned, there was initial, you know, teething problems with the vaccination. Also, we needed more vaccines. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think Delhi is far ahead of anywhere in, else in the country.
No, my point is, Mr. Tyagi, we must be very careful in making certain claims. Unfortunately, the last time around, we have seen, and this is not way back in public memory. This is just a few months ago.
Why don't you ask Mr. Tyagi to compare between Haryana and Delhi? The preparedness of Haryana and
no,
Delhi.
No. First of all, there will be no comparisons. First of all, there will be no comparison. Everybody, it's the responsibility of everyone to help everyone. That's why I'm talking about a national level coordination. Dr. Ajay Kumar, that is why one talks about a national level coordination. For instance, Delhi may have certain amount of vaccines available in spare or in stock, or certain medicines. Do we have a sort of a larger consensus in the country that it can immediately provide it to, say, a Haryana if it is in need, or the other way around? That level of coordination. Otherwise, we can keep talking about other things.
Look,
Sanket, that time has crossed. We have crossed that time. I know that it's already placed.
Yeah, okay. So Sanket, the fundamental issue is, as a doctor also, the strategy should be based on four or five things which are not so difficult for the government to coordinate with the states. One is ventilators. Actual availability of ventilators. You know, the actual availability, not the BPAP or the oxygen support system. We are talking about real ventilators, actual ventilators. The second, there is a drug, and I keep saying there are drugs which is antibody cocktails for serious patients. All across the world, already approved. These are available. What is the government doing to prepare it? Because if you remember, there was this insanity about ivermectin and remdesivir. Finally proved out to be not only useless, but doesn't work at all. But you still have a lot of people across this country still thinking ivermectin works. Hmm. You know, but it has been scientifically proven in ad nauseum across different medical journals that ivermectin and remdesivir were not the ideal candidates for the thing. So we need to look at what are the drugs we need for serious patients, what are the ventilator, what are the bed availability. And most important is the political agreement on what is going to be the crowding strategy. And it applies to us also. It applies to us whether we do rallies, it applies to others also. But what are you going to do about no crowd gathering, because those are super spreaders. And it's irrespective of whether it's BJP.
No, but then don't you think you're asking a question to yourself? It's not like the Congress party is not conducting rallies in UP, in Goa. In Punjab.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that it needs a political consensus. So I'm not saying it's a single, the issue. But let me point out one interesting data, what Nambiarji said, and the government's performance. There are only 24 beds across district hospitals per lakh population. This is Indian Express. Sometime in October 2021 is the data from. You can Google that. My question is, the standards are somewhere between 79 beds to the 100 beds are what you need per lakh population. So we are in a deep trouble as far as government beds go. Forget the private beds, because the private sector beds are going to, people are not going to go to the private hospitals. The majority of Indians can't afford the private hospitals. Because for a COVID patient, it is going to come to 20 lakh, 30 lakh bills, and they are going to be wiped out. So please don't include private sector beds at all. Private sector ventilators don't make sense. Private sector beds don't make sense as far as the majority of the people go. So what is the Prime Minister and the government supporting to ensure, and what is the audit? And what happened to the Prime Minister care fund? And what is the situation? Instead of giving to some shady guys across the country to make ventilators, let us at least have a transparent deal on what is happening.
Okay, PKD Nambiar, quick response, and then I go to Ms. Dastira.
I take that statement. I feel that as a doctor, Dr. Ajay Kumar is saying that private hospitals are not the place where the Indian citizens go. Don't go, or like you and me don't go. That may not be correct. And I think let's respect every health infrastructure, every doctor, every health people who are serving all of us, irrespective of private or public. We need to understand today, why do we need to criticize a government? We need to criticize a government when there is a time and then there is a need for it. Just for the heck of criticizing a government, today we need to be proud with the fact that we are running one of the largest vaccination drive in the world. 131 crore vaccination, koi chota nahi hota, Dr. Saab. And ye to koi supply chain management or not a
no, but then why do we have a situation, Mr. Nambiar? Lots of questions unanswered.
चार लाख लोग मरे भी अनऑफिशियली, अनऑफिशियली कितने मरे वो भी
सर आई एम नॉट एनीबडी टू से दैट आई वेंट थ्रू द वेरी वेरी बैड स्टेज ड्यूरिंग द कोविड बट लेट मी ऑल्सो टेल यू द मोस्ट प्रोग्रेस्ड कंट्रीज इन द वर्ल्ड ऑफ यूके एंड यूएस इवन हैड मच मोर फैटलिटीज देन अस सो लेट अस नॉट जस्ट क्रिटिसाइज अवर ओन कंट्री एंड अवर हेल्थ इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर अवर गवर्नमेंट फॉर नॉट फॉर एनी रीजन which may not just only for a politically motivated. My only humble submission is that we have achieved quite a bit. We did go through a very, very bad phase, whether it is the central government or
my, my biggest problem over here, Ms. Dastidar. Ms. Dastidar, one more. Ms. Dastidar. Kakuli Ghosh, Dastidar. See, the thing is, there is a fundamental problem. There is a fundamental problem when governments pat themselves on the back to say, we went through a crisis, we've learnt a lot, and look, we've done this, this, this. Unfortunately, this is exactly what we heard in January, February, March. And then we all know what happened in April and May.
That time, we did not have a vaccination drive, Sanket. I think
at that time, I clearly remember all representatives of the government, Mr. Nambiar, were all representatives of the government were saying we are better prepared.
Today we are 80% of our eligible population is being vaccinated.
Single dose.
Precisely. And more than 55% of the population is being given two doses.
But no booster doses so far. Kakuli Ghosh Dastidar.
Only 49 crores I think have received the second dose.
You also need to understand.
Children, you know, young adults have not been vaccinated. And there is suggestion by WHO also to vaccinate the booster dose for people with comorbidity, the senior citizens who are above 65. No plan has been drawn up for this. So this is definitely a failure on the part of the government. But we would have to follow the WHO mandate of keeping the social distancing and covering. You know, here the people use masks without covering the noses. So the mask has to be...
No, Ms. Ghosh, the biggest problem is the biggest super spreader events. If something is going to happen, are going to be political rallies, right? We have been touring the Uttar Pradesh, the state of Uttar Pradesh. Not one political rally where you see a person wearing a mask. Not one. Every political party is guilty. Even on stage. Even politicians also don't wear.
Including the political leaders.
Including the leaders. I agree. Yes. Whether they are from BJP or Congress or SP or BSP, mask is a rare commodity. Mr. Tyagi, can governments ensure that in public functions, at least they lead by example? As of this moment, I feel that they are, and then you have the central government releasing a graph where they're saying that, see, the number of people using the masks has gone down because politicians are not leading by example.
Absolutely. I want to bring out 2 points. One, I completely agree with you. Yes, political parties need to take initiative because one political party, if they are going to hold huge rally, the other party thinks it's take it upon themselves to come up with a bigger rally. So, I mean, this thing is going to cascade. One, the political parties need to be more responsible.
I feel that this is exactly... And also, this is exactly what happened in the context of the Bengal elections. Now you've got five state assembly elections.
I want to make a point. Very quickly. Sanket ji, I want to make a very serious point right now. I actually don't want to bring up a controversy, but I want Mr. Nambiar to ascertain that the central government does not differentiate between the states when when a situation, an emergency situation arises in the country. I hope it does not.
Delhi was the one
last time, last two times,
central government,
actually, we differentiate differently.
Okay, I'm not going to enter into this. This is exactly what we need to avoid.
It should not happen.
I'm going to have to stop here because this is exactly what we need to avoid now and also in the future. One moment, hard stop. This is exactly, very quickly, Dr. Kumar and then Mr. Nambiar. We have to avoid exactly this in the long run, now as well as in the future.
I just request Mr. Nambiar through his good office to tell the government to let us have an audit on what is the preparedness on ventilators, beds, medicines across all states and only district hospitals and government hospitals. And you took me wrong on saying private sector. I'm saying private sector does its job, but majority of Indians cannot afford the rates of a private hospital on an ICU care during COVID time. Majority of Indians, and that's my, I mean, they're doing a great job. The doctors in private hospitals are phenomenal.
Sure.
All that.
Okay.
Majority of, so please do an audit. And please, for God's sake, please request the Prime Minister to at least let us know what has happened.
Let's have greater coordination, because the moment this fighting will begin, you know, the country will judge us. I hope not the second time in a year for how we behave in a crisis. Right now, everything is fine. But in a crisis, in the time of a crisis, I think the political fraternity let the people of this country down about 8 months ago. Please don't do that again. Thank you very much for joining us on part one of The Big Fight. We're stopping for a short break at this moment. When we come back, let's ask the experts, the doctors, the epidemiologists, what they feel about the Omicron variant. Stay with us. Welcome back. Let's now, I would like to introduce Dr. Gagandeep Kang, former executive director of THSIT. Now she's a professor at the Christian Medical College, Vellore. Thank you very much, Dr. Kang, for joining us. Now is the time to speak to the experts. Of course, we spoke about political will and asked those questions. But Dr. Kang, if you can tell us, based on the knowledge that we have right now of this new variant, how worried should we be?
There are different aspects of the variant that we need to consider. I think it's very clear to everybody that this variant is more transmissible than the other variants we've seen before. And what's really worrying is the fact that in the UK and in South Africa, they're seeing a doubling time of infections of 2.2 and 3 days. This is faster than anything we have seen before and speaks to how easily this variant can spread. We had also the news about how our immune systems can handle this virus, and there is not outstanding news on the antibody front, but pretty good news on the T cell front. And on the antibody front, what we've seen is that the vaccines that are the most immunogenic see the most significant drop in neutralizing antibody activity, with the Pfizer vaccine with 2 doses, a drop of about 40 times. And it's only if you have been vaccinated and infected that you have a reasonable level of protection, or at least neutralizing antibodies that we predict will protect. That has been backed up with data for more vaccines now. And what's particularly interesting for India is that the best data for Covishield equivalent vaccines is showing up when you have an additional dose of an mRNA vaccine rather than further doses of a viral vectored vaccine. So the implications that that has is that we may see infections, and whether those will result in disease or not is still data that is awaited from countries that have larger numbers of cases. Sure. Like South Africa and the UK. I think there is some misinterpretation of how mild this can be. Certainly in younger populations, all variants have been much milder. But what we need to wait for is data on how this is doing in elderly people who have not been vaccinated who have not been boosted. And at this time, we do not have that information.
And that becomes very risky, Dr. Kang, because, you know, for, number one, the elderly. Number two, people with comorbidities. Do you think that they continue to remain vulnerable for the lack of information about this new variant?
So if we look at the situation in India, we hope that the bulk of people, if they haven't already got 2 doses of vaccine, will go out now and make sure that they get the second dose of vaccine. But given that we are waiting to find out what happens with Omicron, what is the action that we should be taking? And I would tend to err on the side of caution and advise that at least for vulnerable subgroups, we should be looking at being ready to do boosters sooner rather than later. Certainly in the elderly, and most likely in those people who have comorbidities as well. But the critical element in this and what we are doing currently is making sure that when we give vaccines and we test people, we ensure that the data are available for us to be able to analyze the data and make good decisions in the future going forward. At the moment, we are not advising boosters because we have no information on whether vaccines are declining in their effectiveness for all of the population or for some groups of the population.
But Dr. Kang, on boosters, I just wanted to know from you, if the immunity is going down and there is a way in which you can test that your immunity levels are going down, the antibody levels are going down, in that context, will the booster not work? If you could just explain.
So, first things, most of the antibodies that we evaluate in commercially available tests are binding antibodies. The actual antibodies that are likely to protect us are not binding antibodies, they are neutralizing antibodies. There is a correlation between binding and neutralization, and it is not absolute. Nor is there actually a cutoff for either binding or neutralizing antibodies. We just know that more is better, and if you have very little, then you're less likely to be protected. Hmm. So you understand the trajectory,
yeah,
but you don't have an absolute cutoff level. And the thing to remember is that antibodies are important for infection as well as for disease. But it's likely that the T-cell responses are more important for severe disease and for protection against mortality. And as I mentioned earlier, the good news at least is that while there is some loss of T-cell activity with the Omicron variant, the bulk of it actually remains. So should be effective in protecting against severe disease and potentially mortality.
All right, Dr. Kang, thank you very much for joining us. All right, at this moment, let me also introduce Dr. Om Srivastava, member of the Maharashtra COVID Task Force, Dr. S.K. Sareen, Vice-Chancellor of ILBS, Dr. Naveen Dang, founder of Dr. Dang's Labs, and Dr. Sudarshan Balal, chairman of Manipal Hospitals. Thank you very much. Let me begin with you first, Dr. Balal. Do you feel that the first thing that we need to do is to realize that a third wave is possible? The reason why I ask you this question, Dr. Balal, is in the case of the second wave, somewhere institutionally, we were very convinced that this is the beginning of the end of the pandemic. In fact, we can now officially call this an endemic and then slowly, you know, tone it down. But then you had the second wave. So don't you think the first thing institutionally that needs to happen is to convince yourself that, yes, a third wave can happen?
Good evening, Sanket. Thank you for having me in this program. I fully agree with you that there's no role for complacency in the fight against the pandemic. I think we should think that it is possible to have the third wave because the virus numbers are increasing. And certainly, as far as we know about it, it is very easily transmissible. So I think we should think that there could be a third wave. That doesn't mean we need to panic. What it means is we have to be prepared for a possible third wave, however mild it is, and we continue with the precautions to try and prevent the spread of the disease, which is public health measures, COVID-appropriate behavior, and mass vaccination. So I think there's certainly no role for complacency.
True. Dr. Dang, the last time, the biggest problem or one of the big problems that we faced were the lack of testing kits. It's understandable because when there will be a wave, a sudden rise in the number of people getting tested, there will be a shortage. This time around, apart from the gold standard RT-PCR, what steps do you recommend that we put in place quickly so that testing is not a problem?
Sanket, at this moment, in the last 1.5 years, a lot of water has flowed under the bridge. And I'm glad to say there's no shortage of any kind of a kit which is there. The RT-PCR kits are there in ample. Good quality kits are there, easily available at an affordable cost. And along with that, ICMR and other government organizations have taken very interesting decisions of allowing so many other kits, which are equivalent to RT-PCR, to be marketed and to be available. Now we have things like Abbott ID, which can give a result in 15 minutes. We've got CBMAP and Cepheid, which can give the report in about 1 hour or so. So there's no dearth of good quality kits which are available. So I do not anticipate any shortage to occur in the near future.
Okay. Dr. Sarin, two or three questions, all related to our vaccination drive. Do you feel that now we must proceed as far as the next stage of our vaccination drive is concerned? I know there is a lot of study being done on whether booster shots work or not. But do you feel that at least for the vulnerable, the ones with comorbidities, the frontline workers, those who got the vaccines in January and February should be eligible for booster doses?
Well, it's the debatable and contentious issue. But as you see, many countries who had an extra dose, like for one person, there were 9 dosages available in UK or 6 in the US. They had the prerogative of giving a booster early enough. If you ask me if vaccine is available, and as I read somewhere that the Serum Institute is reducing its production by half, and I think if it gives full production, if we have full vaccine, I think booster is a booster. It will boost your immunity. If you take a booster now, it will take 2 to 4 weeks by the time your antibodies go. Somebody has taken a vaccine in January. In about 6 months, the antibody levels very often will come down below 5 or 8, what is your minimum protective level. Second, our vaccines give 70% efficacy, 80%. You still have a group who never mounted an antibody response. Therefore, for vulnerable frontline workers, my recommendation is clear. If vaccine is available, give it. You don't even have to pay, give it free. You can make it available in market and somebody can buy. But they should at least have the opportunity of having a booster dose. The other part is the original vaccine, which we had, was for Wuhan virus. That vaccine was 4.5 times less effective against Delta. So people got reinfected. Now people who have got 3 vaccine dosages, even in Israel where the Pfizer vaccine was there, a reinfection has occurred. But those who got booster do not go to hospitals. Those who got boosters do not have serious illness. Therefore, giving vaccine is the third dose, a booster, would be a wise decision if we have the vaccine.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Om Srivastav, now for some important questions related to testing and how it can be increased, genome sequencing and how it can be stepped up, and most importantly, and this is a very important function, of keeping data integrity, that is ensuring that the correct data is put out there. How important do you think this is in our fight? Because often we see what some of the states were accused of doing was of fudging data or not putting out the correct data. We'll never know the magnitude of the problem.
Very true, Sanket. You've made some very important points. The first part is, I'm going to take the last question first.
Sure.
How important it is to ensure that the data is kept with as much integrity and reported with as much integrity. That is very important. I think there may be independent bodies that will collect the data. There may be independent bodies that will analyze the data. And that would then go into something like a peer-reviewed journal, or if that's possible, to have a randomized controlled trial of the data that you are claiming is effective in your system. That would have to be 3 separate parts of what you want to do with the data coming your way. So yes, I would think that all 3 parts are crucial. They are integral to why the scientific community will look upon the data coming out of, whether it's your state or your country, and take you seriously. Because if you're going to say something that is preposterous or something that is not going to cut any ice, then obviously your own integrity is going to be, on the line. So I would think that, yes, that part is very important. The data security, safety, and the publishing of data, whatever it is, should be put across in the way it is without having any kind of well, change in the data, that the way it was collected, and that would be the biggest test of the integrity. You had another question. I think you had one more question besides.
I'll circle back to you. Just give me a moment. I'll circle back to you. Dr. Balal, you see, last time around, we saw something very interesting happening when there was shortage. Hospitals at their level were coordinating with other hospitals on whether there is some spare oxygen or some medicines. But this was more of a, you know, a personal communication. Do you think that one of our biggest learnings from the second wave could have been to institutionalize this process? Perhaps the central government or the state government could do this. Would you like to tell us what your plan is, for instance, at your hospital, to not just test, track, treat, but also to make sure that the oxygen supply is augmented, the medicine supply is augmented, and beds are available?
You hit the nail on the head, Sanket. I think during the last wave, what was very obvious is, in the initial stages, actually the patients had to do the coordination. They were running from pillar to post, from hospital to hospital, looking for bed and oxygen. The next stage, of course, was the chain of hospitals and individual hospitals coordinated with each other to find out the right bed, the right kind of bed and oxygen. Then, of course, as we learned more about this, we had central dashboards usually set up by the municipal corporation, which sort of was quite effective in many cities, including our own. So I think one of the learnings this time is that we should have a central dashboard where the beds, oxygen, ICU requirements, and everything else that's needed for the care of COVID is coordinated centrally, and it's not left to the patient, or for that matter, even individual hospitals to do that. We as a large chain certainly internally will have enough communication with each other to know where the bed was available or is available and what kind of facilities the patients need. But we need much more than that for a coordinated effort.
Okay. Dr. Dang, before I come to you, just one question I wanted to ask Dr. S.K. Sareen. You see, in a press conference on Friday, Dr. V.K. Paul of the Niti Aayog, he has said that the WHO is warning against the decline of mask usage. Global scene of Omicron is disturbing. We are now operating at a risky and unacceptable level of wearing masks. We have to remember that both vaccines and masks are important. Now, Dr. Sareen, all you have to do is, say for instance, we are in Delhi, step out of the municipal limits of Delhi, and you will see that masks are something that is laughed at, right? It is a very rare commodity. It is something which has perhaps not penetrated. I don't know how the government measured how the masking has gone down. But how do you spread or awareness down to the back of beyond that mask is what will save you as a first line of defense?
See, bhaya bin preet na hoye gosai. Bhagwan se bhi aadmi tabhi dosti karta hai jab usse dar lagta hai. In simple words, kyunki ye sare logon ko pahunchna hai, isliye main hindi mein bola hun. If you are not scared, you will not follow it. But let me tell you, there has been instances in the US birthday parties, the virus is spread increased by about 11-fold. Old people's parties, it spread by 7-fold when the people got collected. And Omicron is spreading 3.5 times faster than Delta. So if one person has Omicron and he spreads in one party, you're done with. Therefore, please remember that it will not announce, it is not a visible thing. And as you can see, I just come from the clinic, I have double mask. I just, since I'm in my room, I'm not using. The mask must be worn. Your best vaccine today and will remain for 2022 is your self-lockdown. Nobody would be able to help you if you get the virus. And it is a virus which will spread to your family, your children who are not vaccinated, sure, elderly people who might have a low immunity. So wherever you are, don't take chances. And self-lockdown is the first thing that you should do and follow for next 1 year.
Okay.
Second part, yeah, which you asked, why the trend has gone down. I think we have to be seeing people. You have to lead by example. At least doctors do by that example. I would suggest that every senior citizen who is responsible and is, you know, at a place should follow that priority.
Correct.
I also want to say through you that we need quickly self-testing kits in our houses. These are easily available in the US and other countries. You get a kit, you can get yourself tested. And if you have slightest flu, because your testing might just show you that you may not have positive value, but if somebody has cough, cold, or some similar COVID-like illness, you must get tested and isolate yourself.
Sure.
These are precautions which we have to follow in winter. For at least next few weeks.
Sure. Dr. Dang, I now want to come to you, last word. Your suggestions, sir, to prevent a third wave. Something apart from test, which we keep hearing.
Sanket, actually, Dr. Sarin has very well summarized what needs to be done and needs to be said. Of course, one thing I always say is that strengthen the government hospitals, the testing capacity of the government hospitals. We have got such fantastic government hospitals, may they be local corporation hospitals, the simple hospitals, etc. I think all of them should be having RT-PCR systems out there. Running the RT-PCR is no rocket science at all. I would humbly request all government hospitals which are there to be well equipped to handle this. Number two, of course, any super spreader event which is happening should immediately be stopped. Action should be taken immediately. That is, I mean, from today onwards, that what we had to face 1 year back or a few months back should not once again be repeated. And that is getting repeated, and Dr. Sarin and Dr. Balal, etc., have very nicely put out forward that it is just our own fault.
Correct.
In this triage of virus, doctors, that is the healthcare workers, and the environment, what is going to affect us most and destroy a cycle, if you permit me to say that, is the third thing, that is the environment. We have to be careful. We cannot let our guards down. We have to proceed forward with the way that the battle is going on.
We cannot afford a third wave. Very quickly, Dr. Srivastav, the question I wanted to ask you was on genome sequencing and how do we fare on that front?
I think that we will, I think we will all agree that we would like to do much more than what we are doing, because that is going to be the way forward. It's not just about the second wave or the third wave. It's also about how long this epidemic is going to last in our lives. What's going to be, I hope that I'm wrong, but what's going to be the next infectious disease outbreak? You know, the information that comes out of the genome sequencing is going to be priceless. It's going to be, gold dust. So we need to invest more in genome sequencing, even though at this time we would say that, look, we don't have enough machines, we don't have enough labs to collect the samples and do the genome sequencing. We must endeavor to keep going forward more and more. It's a little bit like the RT-PCR when the first wave was coming to an end and the second wave was starting. And that at that time, we didn't have enough RT-PCR kits. Enough RT-PCR conducting laboratories. But look at what the numbers that we have right now. In much the same way, genome sequencing is going to be, I cannot emphasize how important it's going to be for further scientific endeavors.
True.
For us to know that this is what the virus looked like in December of 2021. And if indeed there is something else of the virus or other viruses that come into our lives, how we are going to be able to make a strategy to counter them. Because a lot of therapy that will come out in the next several years, maybe a few decades, is going to come out of the genome sequencing. So I can't emphasize that enough.
Absolutely. Dr. Srivastav, Dr. Sarin, Dr. Dang, as well as Dr. Balal, thank you very much for joining us. We come to the end of this broadcast, but all that one can say is that the virus is still out there, strong and invisible, and its variants. And we have only two things that we can do. Either get vaccinated, not either or, get vaccinated, and also, wear your mask. Good night and goodbye.